Hello, welcome to Shepherd the Sheep. We're opening the mailbag, and we're going to respond to some questions based on earlier podcast. And so here we go. So, new podcast, new time, little kind of break there, cause of busyness, but getting to record a couple today. So, people probably see that there's two online at one time. So, Yep, it is how it is. Just in case you want to know, we tend to record, one to two at a time.
Yep.
Yeah. But we don't have a schedule release.
We never record zero at a time. So that's good.
This is true. This is true. We never record zero. So yeah, little mailbag time. These are questions that have kind of come up due to recent Bible studies. A couple of them from the podcast before we interviewed Caitlin. So we talked about thinking on justification and thinking on grace, and so some questions formulated out of that. So we're going to ask a series of five questions today. How does the doctrine of justification help you view other believers? How does God's grace help you navigate other people? Why or how does the cross influence our behavior, our service? Why is sanctification a positive action and not just an avoiding of sin? And how has the church helped in training your children? So we'll get a little practical there with your kids. So I don't know yet how long this conversation will go, but you can always fast forward to the kid question. So, but I would encourage you not to skip the first few questions, because actually
they're all related.
They are. Yeah. Actually, if you understand the answers to these other four questions, it will actually help you be a better parent.
This will be like our application question.
Ooh, yeah, that is an application. Yeah. So the key to being a better parent, by the way, is this. It's being somebody who loves Jesus Christ and finds your kids valuable.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the key. If you find your kids valuable, you're going to treat them with respect. You're going to love them. You're going to serve them. You're going to tell them no when you need to, because you're going to recognize, hey, some things aren't good for your soul and I need to say no. But the second idolatry comes into play with our kids, that's when the problem comes. Yeah, maybe we worship our kids. I don't know. So I'm frustrated with my mic. So, yeah. All right, Gino, how does the doctrine of justification help you see or view other believers? So maybe remind us the doctrine first and then.
Yeah. Well, the doctrine of justification is that God has declared us righteous because of Jesus Christ. And if that's the case, then every believer experiences, but that's the reality of every believer, that we are children of God, that we are all related into this one, you know, one family under the head Jesus Christ. So the temptation, I think, is to, you know, view another person at church that you struggle with as the struggle as their identity. And that's actually not helpful for our soul. So I think it's helpful to start with, who is this person? Well, this person is like me, like myself, someone who identifies, whether they know it or not. And maybe that's the key there, is like helping them, ministry is helping them understand their identity in Christ. Whether they know it or not, they are a child of God. And I think we start there as we deal with other believers.
Yeah, I agree.
Next question. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. No, seriously. It's a great point you bring up. Somebody should probably rewind and listen to that 3 or 4 or 5, 6 times. Because we don't do that. You're defined by, he's the gym rat, or he's the, you know, he's the car guy, or he's the, you know, he's the Yankees fan, or, you know, oh yeah, he was, you know, he was a drunk for 12 years of his life. I mean, we define people by everything, but sometimes he's a child of God, or she, right? Like both.
Right.
Yep. So, and if you're both children of God, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Your family, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. How we view someone affects the way we, the way we approach them. Mm-hmm. Whether we understand that or not, if you start with that person, let's just say has a behavior that annoys you, and you describe him as that behavior, this person's an annoying person. Well, the way you're going to treat them is going to be vastly different than if you start with, wow, that person is a child of God just like me. And he probably doesn't realize what that means and what that looks like. I need to come alongside him and help him like understand that, you know, that bears more patience, more grace, more mercy. That's such a better way to be. That's such a better church to be in when everyone views each other that way, starts that way. Right. So,
yeah, because it kind of helps beget God's grace.
I think so.
Yeah. Which is the second question too, kind of in this discussion, is how does understanding God's grace help you navigate other people? Mm. And really, it's a piggyback right off of this.
Yes.
So how does understanding God's grace help you navigate other people?
Yeah. You're asking me?
Mm-hmm.
What? Two in a row?
Oh, two in a row, G. I ain't saying anything. I don't know how to answer this question.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you meditate long enough on God's character, then you should realize that we love him because he first loved us. So there's an initiating kind of love that not only should come from God, but should come from his children. So if his children are in Jesus Christ, then the Spirit should be leading us to intentionally love others first, not reciprocate love only when loved, which is what the world does. That's what makes us different. If all we do is reciprocate loving people's behaviors, then we're no different than the world, because the world does that. Mm-hmm. But if we are able to love our enemies, love difficult people, strive with them, walk with them, you know, see that you have a goal to hopefully see Christ in them, that's such a different take on doing life with others. And by the way, that's a lot of work, by the way.
It's a lot of work. Yeah. You kind of answered the third question too. How does the cross influence the way you serve others? But it's really good. Do you think in terms of like, how does somebody do that though? Like, I mean, let's say you're struggling to not struggle with somebody, right? Because I mean, every now and then somebody will say to me like, I don't know how you elders do this, because they'll kind of be aware of something on our plate. Again, because sometimes there's multiple witnesses to an event, and they're like, man, how do you guys do this day in and day out? And it's like, I mean, we're not doing anything you're not called to do either.
Right.
So what are things we've learned that makes this not, you know, it's like, I don't want to say not as taxing, because it sometimes is taxing, like, yeah, to be honest. It's not always easy. It's not fun. Mm-hmm. Hard conversations are not enjoyable. Conflict is not enjoyable. Mm-hmm. So how do you... Right. What did you have to learn about the Lord that kind of helps you get over the hump of being scared to engage or, you know, like, cause I feel like almost each of us individually has to come to that terms of like, wait a minute, I can't treat people like that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just, you know, some people are prone to like, I'll just ignore them and the problem will go away. And it's like, well, that's not loving either. Yeah,
I think the difficulty is that it's hard to address sin. And when, you know, if you come from a fundamentalist background, and when I say fundamentalist, I'm talking about the bad kind.
Yeah.
Not just fundamentalist in your doctrinal stance, but like fundamentalist in like maybe almost pharisaical. The approach is, okay, sin is bad, therefore what sin needs is a good whooping. You know what I mean? And in actuality, if you see the way God operates, he actually has a lot more patience and grace towards us than we understand or even yeah, that we can even begin to understand. Like, you know, what is it? Romans 2:4, right? It's the kindness of the Lord that led us to repentance. Well, what did that kindness look like? Well, he didn't strike us down the moment we sinned. When unbelievers say God is such a the God of the Old Testament, oh gosh, he's so brutal. Like, wait a minute, do you know how gracious he is? Mm-hmm. He has walked with much grace and patience with the Israelites and the world, right? Like the fact that he flooded the earth in Noah's time was many hundreds of years of patience. Right, we don't even have that. We don't have 2 seconds of patience. So So I think when I realize that the weapons of warfare are actually grace and kindness, that became revolutionary in my thinking. It's like, oh, wait a minute! Like the weapons of spiritual warfare is not banging someone on the head with the sword of the word of the sword. Yeah, it's the idea is that truth can cut through the hardest heart, but that truth oftentimes is accompanied with a soberness, a humility, a kindness. So how do you, so really the difficulty of being a believer who walks in integrity and is trying to walk with people and lead them to Christ is the balance of telling the truth of sin, addressing sin and not sweeping it under the rug, while at the same time coming alongside them in such a way that you're loving them and there's a gentleness, a patience, and a kindness there. That's the very difficult part of doing ministry.
Right, yeah, there. Agreed. Mm-hmm. You think it probably starts too with realizing, right, and this is why you got to know the gospel, because you said this a second, initiating love, like realizing that God's, like in some ways, we should look at the way God does things and go, that's the way we should do things.
Yes.
So if God doesn't act for people that annoy him, then there's no gospel. Because mm-hmm. I got to imagine our sins annoying to him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, right, I think there's you're kind of what you're saying, because you're not just talking about adopting the character of Christ. You're talking about adopting the will of God to where you're even like, hey, it is God's, like God is a redeeming God who focuses on restoration, who focuses on helping people grow. So I think it's fair to say what you're saying is all of us even have to adopt a mindset of how do I serve you?
Yes.
And serve you with the purpose of not, right, serve you with the purpose of help you know the Lord better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Because,
mm-hmm. Again, my temptation is to serve you to make my life easier. Here, let me just quickly give you the plate, and now you move on.
Yep.
You know, so I can go back to my regular scheduled program. But all of our regular scheduled programs should be the things of God.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, that's a temptation too. It's a real temptation to just, all right, here you go. Here's the band-aid. Okay, go away now. You know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it's like when your kid comes up to you and it's like, you know, the 50th time, it's like, okay, just go away now. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, here you go. Like, did I actually address the issue? Did I, you know, work with them on what they're struggling with? Did I think about how they're thinking? And did I talk about their action, how that is connected to a heart that is not right with the Lord, not right with their brother or their sister, you know, things like that. That takes a lot of work.
It does.
And attention. So, yeah, yeah, I think, yeah. And part of this too is like, a lot of the books that we've been reading focus on the gospel and focus on, and then we're going through Romans, going through just all these scriptures and just rereading them in light of the bigger picture is so helpful in understanding how God operates in creation.
Yeah.
And you see big picture that God is just a gentle, patient God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's good. It's good to remember, even kind of as you were talking, raises a question a little bit about, like this reality that God the Spirit is the one working, not us.
Yeah.
So I guess one of the things I was thinking as you're talking is like contemplating even the question of, do I actually have influence in this person's life?
Yeah.
And maybe being willing to realize like, hey, let me trust the Spirit a little bit on this. Right, because I feel like that's kind of the other mistake, is some people are aware that people need the Lord, but they engage every conversation with a throttle and a baseball bat.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like, So how do you differentiate that, right? Because, so on the one hand, what we're saying is encouraging the person that's struggling to get over the hump, but what do they need to learn about what does the overzealous person need to learn about the gospel?
Yeah. Yeah, so there's two types of people, I think. The person who inserts himself in every situation because he feels like he's the Holy Spirit. And then there's the person who, like, the problem is right there and they've opened up to you, but you don't want to get involved. You need to be the third kind of person that says, like, okay, I see this happening. Maybe the Lord is calling me to walk alongside this person. You know, and part of the first part of that is just getting to know them, be their friend.
Yeah.
Because, right, that then hopefully you have some kind of influence. And so when issues come up, now you can ask the question, should I get involved here?
Yeah.
Right. Because that's, when we talk about counseling, it's like, oh, get involved. Well, I mean, that doesn't mean like you're going to get involved over, you know, in this situation on the other side of town, not relevant to you or
right.
anything in your circle. So you're getting involved where the Lord places you.
Yeah.
And that's very organic. And that comes with knowing people. And, you know, there's a deacon in our church who's like, who's really good at that. I really appreciate him. He's just good at talking to people.
And yep.
He ends up getting involved because he does that, you know,
yep.
in very difficult situations. So,
well, I think that's even kind of what you're saying there. Right, because I can always hear all these voices. I know I probably need to have that looked at. But so the person that feels like it's good to evangelize strangers maybe hears what we're saying here and goes like, whoa, I don't have influence. Mm. We're not saying don't evangelize strangers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, yes, evangelize strangers. But realize what we're talking about, the people you see on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. If you have no influence over that person, you're probably going to need to like work in the relationship a little bit more so that at some level that person's going to grow to trust you.
Yes.
Yeah. And so even though you're going to disagree on worldview, you know, there's still this part to where you want them to go, yeah, but I know this person loves me even though we disagree.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is where wisdom comes into play, right? Like a stranger, you know, I have no problem telling the stranger the gospel. Hmm. I have no problem. I was, you know, in a shop one day and a lady came in who wasn't dressed to what I would not have my daughters mm-hmm. dress that way and Kyla wouldn't dress that way. Mm-hmm. And the whole time I'm trying to talk to him, he's staring at her. Mm-hmm. And he said, what do you think? And I was like, I'm sorry, that's death, brother. Mm-hmm. So I had an opportunity to share the gospel and he just stared at me and I was like, yeah, thanks. Have a good day. But because I'm a creature of habit, I ended up seeing that guy again. Mm. You know what I mean? So because I go to like the same four places all the time. Mm-hmm. So yes, evangelize, but also realize, right, in some relationships, you know, some people are annoying. Hey, Lord, help me to quit being annoyed by this person and engage this person and show this person that I love them.
Right.
And I actually want what's best for this person. So I'm going to start praying for this person that they're walking with you, right? And so rather than being annoyed, I think that's where you have to realize, okay, what's the Lord's desire? Mm-hmm. Salvation. But then to the zealous throttle person, they need to probably slow down and realize, wait a minute. Hey, if I'm just combative with this in every situation, you know what I mean? Like I'm actually kind of the noisy gong.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That person's probably finding their identity and the amount of work or their calling or something weird like that. When really identity is solely that we're in Jesus Christ by faith and grace alone.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
Fully loved, fully accepted. By the way, that's, I mean, we didn't say that, but like, that's the foundation of everything we're talking about today. It's like that knowledge of, like, we have full acceptance in Christ. I want others to know that and have that for themselves.
Yes.
That's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. Yeah. That's good. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Yeah. So those are kind of some good questions. Like, and really, if you go back to, like, not the last one with Caitlin, but the two podcasts before that, we were trying to encourage people, like, you need to think about justification and grace on a daily basis.
Yes.
And the interesting part is, the more you understand about the cross, it does start to influence the way you treat people. And so even when you understand my identity is in Christ, it's amazing how many times people learn that and go, you know, this frees me to serve people. It does mm-hmm. free you to serve. That's exactly right.
Yes.
And that's what Galatians says, right? He says that you're no longer under the law. You've been freed. Well, the whole point is, now take your freedom to love other people.
Yep.
And so in a way, sanctification is not just avoiding sin. And I think this is what we've been trying to teach people in the church going through Romans 6, because I think that's what Paul's trying to teach you. Sanctification is not just avoiding sin. It's pursuing righteousness.
Yes.
So now help me do that. Like, let's say I'm sitting there, like, what does that look like? What does that look like? Like, practically speaking, right? And remember, Romans 6 starts with the gospel. So I wrote up a 4-point thing for the women on Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Gave them 4 Roman numerals because we're in Romans.
Ooh.
And it started, right? Number one to sanctification is make much of the cross. Yes. Like, remember who you are in Jesus Christ. Number two was consider yourself dead to sin. Number three was pursue righteousness. And number four was actually to circle back around, because 6:23 ends, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life.
Oh, yeah.
Which is actually a summary of his first paragraph in Romans 6. So you have this kind of nice little neat closed, that chapter begins and ends with the cross and this realization that you're not under law, you're under grace, you're not under death, you have life. So with that in mind, right, like, everything we do should be built upon the gospel. And even in terms of sanctifying, like, thinking, like, don't just start with rules, start with the cross.
Yes.
Okay. So how do you, like, what do you say to somebody who's like, Gino, I mean, okay, I hear you think about the gospel, consider yourself dead to sin, alive to Christ. Okay. But what does that look like?
Yeah. Yeah.
To put you on the spot.
Yeah.
And
no,
go.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, first I want to say that, you know, that whole structure of law and then grace, what people struggle with oftentimes is they identify themselves with the law, and the law, like, what we do or don't do with the law isn't what identifies us. The reason why there's a new covenant is because God's trying to show us that, like, look, this does not define you. Now you're in grace. Now you're in Christ. So there's nothing that you, there's, if your faith is in Christ, there's nothing that you will do that's going to change who you are. Secondly, there's nothing that anyone can do to you or, yeah, like, treat you wrongly, abuse you even, you know, tell you the worst things about yourself. None of that will change who you are. By the way, that's a big deal, because the reason why people have a hard time forgiving is because they believe what people tell them, right? They believe, well, I must be nobody because I'm abused, or so, right? Like, internally speaking, like, it starts there. We're a new creation in Christ. The old has gone away, the new has come. Okay. Now, what does that mean practically as we are walking in? So that's the positional part of sanctification. We're positionally, we're clean because of the blood of Christ, nothing else, by faith alone. Okay, so practically, what does that look like now? Well, we're actually free to serve people. We can suffer for people, right? Because serving requires suffering. Love requires suffering. You have to, investment requires suffering. You don't, your investment doesn't get paid off today. Your investment gets paid off in the future. So for me, I have to realize that, like, sin is serving myself. Serving Christ looks like pursuing his will, his responsibilities for me. And we've defined that in other podcasts, right? Wife, kids, yeah. Work, church, right? Others. So if I find myself in sin, the question is, what responsibility am I not pursuing? Because there's a connection there. I'm not doing something faithfully here, not because I'm serving myself here.
Right.
So sin is self-service. So for me, it starts with kind of like that diagnosis. Okay, what's going on? Why am I, ask the question, what am I not doing? What responsibility am I not pursuing? Because I actually have the freedom to do that. I'm not defined by this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I hear you saying is be committed to your responsibilities.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so what is that? That's going to take up your time, mm-hmm. some of your resources.
Yep.
The resources going to take up his time, financial, and family time.
Yeah, energy.
Yep.
Yeah,
yes.
Mental energy, physical energy, like all of that, man. Like it requires the whole of you.
Yes.
In some ways, right? So
yeah, and I think even being wise to act within your realm.
Of course.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about, you want to walk righteously. Realize too that if you're doing everything by faith in its proper place, it's actually good.
Yes.
So, we've committed ourselves to Wednesday night Bible study. So when we show up, I'm showing up with the commitment to listen to people, to talk to people, to engage people, to bring some food, which cost us money, time, resources to go. I have this responsibility now to hear what people say, to ask the question, does that mean I got to serve them down the road? Is there an immediate need that we need to push pause on other facets of our life to help out with, praying for these people, serving, you know what I mean? That's a lot of work.
Yes.
That's
an act of faith, by the way, because yes. You do have to believe that this is something the Lord has called you to do, and you're going to do it in obedience.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you could easily choose something over that every single time.
Yeah.
I got something else to do. Yeah. It's like, wait, no, my soul needs this.
Yeah. But then I'm even a fan of like scheduling your weeks out.
Of course.
Like, hey, Wednesday night's Bible study night. Hey, Thursday night is sit on the couch movie night.
Yeah.
Cool. By faith, hey, Lord, thanks for this time with my family to watch this movie together or play a game or whatever, mm-hmm. Date night, again, it's good. Like you should be working on cultivating a relationship with your spouse. Mm-hmm. So date nights are good, right? Yeah. Like, and in that way, everything in its proper order is good.
Yes.
So that's why I don't worry about a Christian that loves Christ. If somebody's like, they have a beer on Friday night. Well, good.
Yeah.
It's like, is there anything, like, why would I be worried about that?
Right.
Yeah. So, because in its proper context, here's a person that's doing other things that, honor Jesus Christ. And yeah. So,
Amen, brother.
We started thinking about rules and it's like following Christ is not, it's not a baseball game where you follow rules,
Yeah. That's two baseball references already today.
Well, I don't know if you're aware. Baseball, there's more analogies for life from baseball than any other sport.
I believe it. But I hear football reference more though. I think it's just more popular maybe.
No, it's so by the numbers, it might be now, but there's more baseball references that like three strikes you're out.
That's true.
Ducks on the pond. There's more of those like.
That's probably not a good ministry.
No, three strikes
framework. Yeah, yeah. 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 Tell your wife three strikes, you're out of here.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. Well, and umpires eject people in every sport. So ejected isn't necessarily a baseball one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, there's good, on all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted your
thought. No, that's okay.
I think.
Yeah, it's good. If you're walking by faith, everything you do will honor the Lord.
Yes.
And nobody, because somebody's always like, whoa, but like, are you saying that like if they go do this and it's some sinful thing, it's like, well, they're not walking by faith at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I'm not even, as much as I talk about balance, I don't think the goal of life is balance. The goal is to worship Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so, and the reason I use the word balance so much is it helps me not neglect.
Yes.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean you don't have, right? There are some weeks where you have to pour your whole time and attention. Mm-hmm. Vacation is an intense time of serving your family.
Yeah.
So pause the other things in your life. Don't take as many books, you know, maybe don't take as many cigars. You know what I mean? Like, you know, pause for your family, go do that, come back, you know, missions trip, pause your life, go do those things, come back. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. And then I'm just a fan of like, don't schedule your life all around one thing. And that's why I think balance is a word that's good for that, because it prevents you from being like, well, I work 100 hours a week because work is good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not balance doesn't mean percentages.
Yes.
It means they're all part of your faith life. They're all part of the faith life that you have. And they're all important.
Yeah.
But the percentage of time is going to be different. Like work, where, you know, it's like for some people, it's like 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
6 days a week.
Yeah.
Percentage wise, that's going to be a lot less than everything else.
Yeah.
But
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you know, can you make Bible study? Sure. But does that mean you're going to be as involved as, you know, you or I, who's paid to be here? No.
Right.
You know, and that's okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, not everybody can have a job where you work one day a week.
Yeah.
So this is interesting, kind of going into the last question. How has the church helped in training your children?
Mm. Okay. Well, that's a good question. The way I view it is this. The church, and I think I've said this before.
It's not fair. I put you on the spot for this one, but I've had this conversation 65 times in the last like month.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so sorry.
This is what I tell people, by good. The way. So yeah, I tell people, that I love that my children are in the congregation. And the reason why is because when we understand that the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does, he gifts every member with gifts. Why would I want to neglect that gifting on them towards my kids? The thing I want to do is put my kids there and let them minister to my kids. For me, that's because I'm not fully gifted. I'm gifted enough to be their dad, right? And I have a responsibility to be their dad, but I'm not going to be gifted in every way where they're going to benefit in every single possible way. No, I'm not fully gifted that way, but the church as a whole is. And so for me, walking by faith would be like entrusting them to people that, you know, people at church that I know that would lead them and guide them. Like, why wouldn't I do that?
Right.
I know I've heard of families that, like, you know, their kids are never around the church. And to me, that's you're shorting them. I think you're shorting them from exposure to other Christians who can pour into them. So yeah, I
agree.
My kids are at your house. My kids are at other people in other people's lives. Sometimes so the problem with my kids, I have to tell them to like, okay, guys, stop too much. I have to pull them away because they're just like in people's faces all the time.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's gonna be interesting. It'd be interesting to see our kids as adults. And I think I just want to dispel the notion that it's because they're pastor's kids.
Mm.
It is not. The fact that they're pastor's kids means that sometimes they're there longer than other kids.
Yes.
But listen, I don't care where your kids are at in life, maybe past the baby stage where you're napping 65 times a day and you're napping with your kids napping because you're tired like they're tired. So maybe starting around 2-3 years old, right? If you said on Sundays, hey, we're going to start staying an hour later than we thought.
Mm-hmm.
You watch. Yes, your kids for a couple of weeks, I'm like, oh, let's go. But mm-hmm. at some point, they're going to go, you know what? Why fight it? And you're going to look up and you're going to be like, come on, kids. They're going to be like, oh, do we have to go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's going to be hunger that drives them away.
Right.
And so it's not just that you know what I mean? Like, because the theory is, oh, well, it's because you're pastors. That is not at all what it is.
Right.
It's that our kids learn that you either make the best of this or you don't. And we were like going, hey, look, we're here to serve. And if that means we're here till 2:30 to serve, then that means we're here till 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they would be like, okay. Because my kids sometimes be like, well, it's because we're pastors. Goes, nope, no, it's not. You don't know. Without this title, I might be here till 2:32.
Right.
And they're just to stare at you. But your wife's like, yeah, no, that's true. Yep. And so, you know what I mean?
Agreed. Like, yeah. Agreed. Yeah. It's cool because it, like, the way they treat adults, like, you know, they're on other relatives too, and they're, you know, all of them have personalities, obviously. Right. some of them more than others, but you know, my relatives point out that they're different than normal kids because they're just always around adults, you know.
Yep.
And kids, obviously. Yeah. And kids, so there's a good mixture there.
But that's good for them.
It is.
That's good for them to rub shoulders with somebody who's 65 years old, somebody who's 45, 35, 25, and right. 15. You know, it's good. You got to learn how to navigate people of different generations, of different, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's the church is filled with, that's that Titus 2 model, by the way.
Absolutely.
Yep. That's good. I think that's what that exposes to is that discipleship is both caught and taught. And so I think, unfortunately, in the American mindset, there's this, like, everything has to be a program. And we discount how much is actually learned through catching and just casualness.
That's so good. That's actually, yeah, right, because, right, if someone looks shopping for a church, quote unquote, shopping for a church, well, do they have a good children's program?
Yep.
So that my kids can grow up. And I don't know, man, like, I look back and a lot of kids that were churched, that were program raised, you know, it's you know, if you look at the results, they're not very good. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's not that programs are better. There's no statistics to back that up.
Right. Yeah. Vody's book, Family Integrated, is an atrocious book. And I'm not even kidding. Like, mm-hmm. it's horribly written, mm-hmm. horribly argued, absolutely atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not necessarily wrong that the program mindset has not helped.
Right.
Yeah. So he broken clock right twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. His broken clock hits twice. And yeah. And I'm not trying to dog Vody. I know a lot of people love him, but he just goes too far in what he says and kind of has some, that whole family integrated model has got a lot of failures. Right, doesn't live up to scripture in a lot of ways. But yeah, there's a lot of things we agree to because obviously we're kind of a family church.
Right.
Yeah. So it's fine.
Yeah. We're like, yeah, we have programs, but they're not, it's not, it's the philosophy behind it. It's different.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. So. Yeah. All right. Well, that was it. So we did good. We cleared that one in, I think, 35, 40 minutes. So
sweet.
The last podcast, I made a boo-boo. I aired. And I did not close it out with Anthony's closing song. I just said, good day.
Mm.
Lord be with you.
It's going to be like empty space after.
Yeah. Somebody's probably still like, well, what did that get cut off? Like, what did I miss? Well, you didn't miss anything.
Right.
You just, we had an IT error. We had an ID 10T error on my part. So
there you go.
If you want to know what that is, write it out. All right. Well, we'll let Anthony go twice and, thanks. Have a good day. And if you have questions or comments, feel free to reach out and let us know.